Hey, Ian. So, in answer to your question, I think 5 minutes, 3 minutes, they're all fine for teaching cases, the semi-elective intubations, where yes, we know this patient needs to be intubated, but we have time, we're pre-oxygenating, and I want my residents to really learn each part of the intubation checklist, understand why it's important. Sometimes I even test them. I say, get everything you need for this intubation and have it all ready for me, and then I'll come over and we'll do the tube. And then after they've done that, I start running through the checklist and show them they forgot five or six things that we feel are really important, and that's why we use checklists, is because no one's good enough to do it from memory. But that way of going about it is not applicable in a patient who's a crash intubation. And oftentimes people dispense with the checklist entirely during a crash intubation, and I think that's really unsafe. But the reason they're doing that is you can't take 5 minutes to do a checklist during a crash, and so they dispense with it entirely. So for my MCRIT checklist, what I do is it's the 60-second version of the checklist, and I'm still going through each item. But anything that, and I do the checklist personally. The checklist is in my hand, and my team is the one who I'm going to be talking to. But any item that I've already personally considered, I don't say out loud because, or if I do say it out loud, I don't wait for a response. So let me pull up the checklist here so I could give you real world example. I'm sorry, one sec, my friend. All right, I have the checklist in front of me. So. I'm on the plan section here, and so for the hop killers, I've already considered this stuff. I'm the team leader here, so I already know, you know, what issues the patient has, and I've already decided on my intubation technique, whether we're going to go RSI, awake, DSI, etc., because I'm making these decisions, and we may or may not have talked about this as a team already, so we're not going to be going through that stuff. And as a result of those things already being in my mind, I've already had people preparing my induction agent and muscle relaxant of choice. I've already had them preparing my post-intubation sedation and analgesia of choice. I've already decided whether I need to tell someone to do push-dose pressors. These things have already been done. I do, no matter what happens, make whoever's doing the actual intubation, you know, usually one of my residents, verbalize their failed airway plan, but we don't do it in a slow fashion. So they've learned by now that what I want to hear from them in response to this is that we're going to try two attempts in intubation. If that fails, I'm going to try my own third attempt. If that fails, we go for supraglottic airway, and if that fails, cricothyrotomy. And they know. We've done this enough times. They say that in 2 seconds. And then I've already done my cricothyroid evaluation and decided whether I need to mark it. And so basically, the plan takes about 3 seconds because I'm reading each item. I might say them out loud. I mean, the entire plan might be whatever hop killer situation the patient is in has been verbalized by me to the whole team. I've said, we're going to proceed with RSI. I've already chosen to use ketamine and succinylcholine. We've already had the nurses preparing Versed and fentanyl for this patient. Push-dose pressors are on the table. What is your failed airway plan? Boom, they say it. I've already injected and marked out the cricothyroid. So that's all I've set for plan. That takes 5 seconds. Okay. Then we get to patient prep. Now, if my residents are doing their job, if they're the residents that I've trained and beaten into them, the fact they already have a nasal cannula on the patient on an oxygen tank, they already have a non-rebreather on high flow O2, they already have a BVM hooked up to oxygen, and so basically, I just say, okay, we got denitrogenation. Okay, the patient is being pre-oxygenated. If they were smart, they've already positioned the patient in the position we want. So I could just say, okay, I'm looking at the patient. He is adequately positioned. And then I say to them, have you looked in the mouth? Have you checked for dentures? Unless I've done that myself, in which case I will say, I've looked in the mouth and there are no dentures and there are no obstructions. And then I look up, is the monitor visible? Great. I don't need to do anything further for that because I've already looked up and I see the pulse ox is on. I see a pulse ox waveform. It's visible to me or to the intubator. I'll ask, is there reliable access? And they, you know, will respond with, yes, we have two 18-gauge IVs. Great. Again, I mentioned they've already put the nasal prongs there. So all I have to do is say, I see nasal prongs. Are those hooked up to oxygen? I want to hear a yes or no response. And then I've already decided gastric tube or not. So that's patient prep. That takes about 10 seconds. Equipment. Well, if my residents have done the right job, then the table's already there. They already have all the intubation equipment already on the table that I could look at. I could say, did you test your laryngoscope? And they could say, yes. We always have video by it. I could test, just see by looking at it, is the camera working and is the right blade size on the video scope? Great. So that's there. BVM, the one thing I'm going to say is this hooked up to oxygen and is that oxygen on? And that's something we actually want to check. So we'll take a couple seconds to do that. Do I visualize the failed airway equipment? And the way we have it is on our video cart. We actually have the two LMAs, the size 3.5 and 4.5 cook gas LMAs, laryngeal airways, because LMA is a trade name. And we have a bougie on our airway cart. I could see all this. And we have a scalpel, and that's there. And do we have either the trach or the 6-0 ET tube? That's there. And if I see it, I just say I'm visualizing the failed airway equipment. I don't have to do a call and response. And then are the two suctions there? And this is worth spending a few seconds to say, are the suctions on, and test them by pulling up on the tubing connected to the suction and making sure it is not on the central port of the suction tank. Whatever the frig it's called. Suction bucket? Yeah. And so that we test. And then team, I just assign the roles and verbalize them. You're going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to do this. And that person has to either nod or somehow acknowledge it. And I look and make sure everyone's in PPE. And this whole thing, and I've timed it, and we've done this repeatedly, 60 seconds. You need, for a crash intubation, to be able to get your checklist down to 60 seconds. If you can't do it, you can't use it. 60 seconds is my number, and if you can't get it there, then you got to alter it, because otherwise it's going to take too long for a crash patient. So for teaching, 3-5 minutes, great. For crash, got to be done 60 seconds or less, in my opinion. Hopefully that answers your question, my friend.